Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Pentagon released details on the hospitalization of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, saying that following an initial procedure to treat early prostate cancer last month, he suffered complications.
According to a letter from his doctors at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, Austin was under general anesthesia during the procedure on December 22nd and recovered uneventfully. He returned home the next morning, but on January 1st, he was readmitted because of nausea and severe abdominal, hip, and leg pain. His doctors say the initial evaluation revealed a urinary tract infection. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
The incident led to a review of Pentagon and White House cabinet protocols on the notification process. Following talks today with Israeli leaders, Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. is focused on getting more aid into Gaza, freeing hostages, and avoiding a wider conflict. Storms sweeping across the country, leading to power outages in the South and Midwest, and at least four tornadoes reported in Florida today. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wet, heavy snow will keep falling in much of southern and eastern Wisconsin until the early morning hours. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells Jane Matinere that 40-mile-an-hour winds will keep driving hazardous the whole time.
When you get underneath one of those snow bands, you'll see some snow accumulating a lot quicker out there, making it harder for the plows to keep up with. But they've been doing an awesome job so far. Mm-hmm. I've been checking cameras across the state. Hats off to you guys.
Wet, heavy snow is causing some power outages, too. New technology developed in Wisconsin could help doctors detect developmental disorders before a baby is born. The University of Wisconsin in Madison says it's currently focusing on autism, ADHD, and other disorders that aren't usually diagnosed until later. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WGBW and WISS. Be prepared for power outages during a snowstorm. Ready Wisconsin encourages everyone to make sure their mobile devices are fully charged, that gas tanks are full, and that you have enough batteries to get you through a power outage. Bring your pets indoors, and if you can't bring them inside, provide adequate shelter to keep them warm and make sure they can get to unfrozen water. Voters in De Pere will decide if the school district can increase spending this spring. The school board last night scheduled a $4.75 million referendum for April 2nd. The school district expects a $3 million deficit in the next school year. School officials say the deficit would grow to almost $7 million after that if nothing's done. The school district may go back to voters in November to ask for $22 million for building projects. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Packer player sent to the hospital. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs had to be sent to a nearby hospital after taking a hit against the Bears Sunday night that left him coughing up blood on the sidelines. Matt LaFleur with an update on Doubs, listed with a chest injury.
This morning, it seems to be he's doing better, but he'll be day-to-day, I would say.
Did you go to the hospital to get checked out?
Yes, he did.
Is he out now? Do you know?
Oh, yeah.
The Packers play the Cowboys Sunday in Dallas. College football. The Michigan Wolverines are national champions. They beat Washington last night 34-13. It's the first national title for Michigan since 1997 when one of their players, Charles Woodson, won the Heisman Trophy. NBA. The Bucks with another loss at home, 132-116. The Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin on how the Jazz kept finding open shots.
You know, they were just shooting behind our switches, you know, and that's something we stress, you know, being physical, pushing up, switch under. You know, we dug ourselves in a hole, but we kept fighting.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
A winter storm warning is in effect now. As snow is coming down, it could mix with some rain this afternoon, flipping back to all snow after 2 o'clock as winds start to whip up to 40 miles per hour, dumping 3 to 6 inches today and another 1 to 3 possible tonight, with visibilities greatly reduced. Right now, 33 degrees.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, we've been talking about threats of violence by the Republican Party. These two, though, are a real beaut. These two are real beaut, and I do not know how the one of them has escaped prosecution so far. Roger Stone. Remember Roger Stone? Trump guy. He was pardoned by Trump. Otherwise, he'd be in the who's gal. But Roger Stone has just revealed he had advocated the killing of Congressman Eric Swalwell and Congressman Jerry Nadler. Eric Swalwell is a very strong Trump critic. Trump continuously defames and threatens him. So far, Trump hasn't been prosecuted for that, nor has he for all the other threats he's made. And Jerry Nadler was the chairman of the Judiciary Committee during Trump's impeachment. Now, advocating the killing of a member of Congress is a felony. We already have Marjorie Taylor Greene having advocated the killing of Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton. Although it was before, apparently she was in Congress and they just didn't get around to prosecuting her. Paul Gosar put out a video in which he kills Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and injures Joe Biden. And he was not prosecuted for that video. I don't know why. I don't know why. If Joe Schmo, the average guy on the street, did any of this, they would be prosecuted. But for Roger Stone to have advocated the killing of Eric Swalwell and Jerry Nadler is so serious that that should have been prosecuted. There are statutes of limitations on felonies. And depending on the state or whether it's federal, it can be 5 or 6 years. I don't know when he made that threat or to whom he made it. But this is the subtext of this is the epidemic of violent threats, of the dangling of violence to scare people into supporting Trump or to scare people into getting out of his way. In Arizona, the FBI just arrested a guy, and he's being held without bail because he had threatened to kill FBI agents because of Trump's threats. When they went to his house with a search warrant, he had 5,000 rounds of ammunition, 5,000 rounds. He had a number of guns, including an AR-15. He had 6 loaded magazines and body armor. You know, Trump has to know that when he goes on social media and he blasts somebody, he doesn't say kill them. He's not that stupid. But what he says is that they're traitors, they're thugs, they're out to destroy him, they're out to destroy America. That the message that he sends to his less stable supporters, and maybe even some that aren't, that have, they're fully in command of their emotions, is kill them. And they all have security, and they have security for their families. Let me give you an example. He routinely talks about Jack Smith, the prosecutor in front of Tanya Chutkan, in terms of being a thug, in terms of being a dishonest, deranged. Well, here are the security costs that the government has to pay for Jack Smith as a result of these threats. They more than doubled in the last year in two comparable periods of quarters of this year, 2023 and 2022. 2022, $2.2 million for the quarter to protect Jack Smith. For a comparable number of months in 2023, $4.9 million to protect a federal prosecutor prosecuting Donald Trump. All because of the relentless attacks and Trump opposing any kind of gag order and his clowns posing as lawyers getting up on their hind legs and saying, well, he has First Amendment rights. You do not have a First Amendment right to threaten to kill somebody. If you actually did it to a president, it depends how high up he is, you'd be arrested on the spot. And Trump knows that. He's very, very careful. Trump is a very cunning individual. He never says, kill him. What he says is, he's a thug. He's deranged. He's out to get me. He's out to destroy the country. He thinks that's oblique. There have been even less oblique threats that have not been prosecuted by other people. Some people say things like, I think you should be killed. I wouldn't do it myself. I'm not advocating it, but I think you could be. Well, if you send that to the family of a congressman, and that's happened, and you do that relentlessly enough, you drive people out of public service. These kinds of things have been sent, for instance, to election workers, to healthcare workers during the pandemic, without a moment's thought as to what the effect is on their morale, and a lot of them quit. The whole intention of the Republican Party is to disrupt these coming elections and to do it in advance so they don't have to do another insurrection. Or, as Trump said, hang out in the voting booth looking for bags of things that are suspicious and take them. All of that is reasonably, in my view, a felony. If you say somebody take bags that you don't think at the polling place, that you think are bad of some, in some sort, you're advocating a tort of assault and battery and theft, burglary, and in an official voting booth, voting precinct. Some of these people are going to push somebody, punch somebody. Some of them are armed. They're permitted to be armed at voting places. This is going on right now with the Republican Party. The guy that was going to kill FBI agents in Arizona. Remember the first time that Trump attacked the FBI, guy in Cincinnati showed up with a gun and was arrested. When he attacked Tanya Chutkan, a woman came to kill her, brought a gun, was arrested. But, you know, it's sort of like airplanes. You have to have 100% success in blocking an accident. Doesn't do you any good to have 99%. Has to be 100. And the same with protecting people and protecting their families. And Donald Trump is a crime scene on the hoof. His people, he's pardoned some, not all of them. They are using violence and the threat of violence to disrupt the election. When they lie about somebody else, like they go after Joe Biden and claim things that he did that are really what Donald Trump did and Biden hasn't done them, the theory is that if you can paint everybody as a crook, the voter says, well, whoever wins is a crook, so why does it matter? And most of them don't vote. Or at least there's a lowered percentage of people who vote. A lot of data shows that the lower the percentage of voters, the better it is for Republicans. Democratic voters tend to be more easily dissuadable from even voting at all. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. While we're doing this, I want to give a shout out to a friend of mine who has just announced that he's not running for re-election, which I think is a blow to our justice system, but I wish him well. I wish him well. John Chisholm, good friend, very, very good. One of the best prosecutors in the country. The district attorney of Milwaukee County, been in for almost 20 years. Before that, he worked for Mike McCann as a prosecutor for roughly another 12, 14 years. There's no one more experienced, there's no one more honest, and there was no one more hardworking. So John Chisholm, I salute you, so does everybody that knows you, and we wish you well. I hope you're not going into retirement. He's a relatively young guy, and he's plenty ahead of him. Be an outstanding judge on the Wisconsin Supreme Court or a federal judge. Be an outstanding attorney general, outstanding in anything he did. So I wish him well. I wish him all the best. All the best. Contrast that to some of the Republicans, and these are sort of unbelievable. The Republican chairman of the Florida Party, of the Florida Republican Party, Christian Ziegler, has just been removed. He's removed by their executive committee a few weeks ago. Now he's been removed by the party. They threw him out. He wouldn't resign. Over a rape charge. He's been accused by a woman of raping her back in October. He says it was consensual. The tawdry background of that is that this woman and Christian Ziegler and Christian Ziegler's wife, who is one of the founders of Moms for Liberty, enjoyed having a threesome. They're supposed to have one in October. Mrs. Ziegler had a conflict, couldn't show up, Mr. Ziegler. And then the other woman said, well, if she's not going to show up, I don't want to do it. Christian Ziegler showed up and forced the woman, according to her allegation, to do it anyway. And she is accusing him of rape. You know, the bar is low, but I mean, really, hell, look, for Pete's sake, the guy won't step down. No, he says it's consensual and that this is okay. Over in Michigan, they have a clown as the chairman and chairwoman, and she was removed, won't leave, and now they have competing websites in Michigan. The Republican Party advocates violence. It's a very, very dangerous party for the United States. The good people in it have been squeezed out, and that has got to change. Coming up, there's a lot more, and in particular, what's coming up is there was a pro-Hamas group in New York City that just shut down all access to the city, and they have got to be treated far more severely than they have. Coming up. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's
gonna cut you down. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Progressive presents advice on new team drivers.
You know, the hardest part about... Whoa. Teaching your team to drive is the chafing from the seatbelt. But the best part is the grip strength you build in your knuckles. Okay, now let's pull out of the driveway.
Here's another tip. Offset a chunk of the cost of adding a team to your insurance with Progressive's Team Driver Discount and get a break from the break. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states or situations.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wander. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to Mattlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there was just a protest just now in New York City. This is a group, anti-Israel, pro-Hamas. Here's what they did. And by the way, more than 300 of them were arrested today. They shut down access to New York City, thousands of them. The Brooklyn Bridge, they closed off. The Manhattan Bridge, the Holland Tunnel. Enough's enough. There was a consent decree in New York that was entered into by the Attorney General some time ago, unrelated to these protests, that forbids a police practice called kettling, K-E-T-T-L-I-N-G. Kettling, you know, keep the steam in the kettle. Is the police can surround a protest when it gets violent like this one and crowd everybody together and then segregate them off and arrest them. So now what they've been doing is giving citations or admonishing them. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't do any good. This crowd, these kinds of protests, they're anti-Israel. Some of them are pro-Hamas. Occasionally they carry swastikas. They shout anti-Semitic slogans. A couple of things have got to be done. And a former police commissioner who has a very good national reputation advocated this, and I support him. One is you have to start criminally charging these people with felonies. When you go in to a public place like that and disrupt and close down the Holland Tunnel, the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, and stop access into the city, you know, their ambulances, their people have to get to their jobs. Charge them with felonies. Now, number one. Number two, you don't necessarily have a right to bail. You have a right to bail in the Bill of Rights, but it's frequently circumscribed, and I would simply hold these people. If they have the They have to get to class. They have to get to job. Too bad. And when they're convicted, sentence them to prison time. Sentence them to prison time. Make sure they have a felony on their records for any future employment or any future circumstance in this country. But secondly, deport them. Many of these people are not citizens. And many of these people are bringing their grievances to this country. They shouldn't have been let in the first place. And we have got to be a lot more restrictive on what visas, student and faculty visas, we hand out in the future to societies that hate the United States, hate Israel, hate our allies, hate Western civilization. And we should stop bringing them in thinking that, well, this is inclusive and I'm sure we can change their minds. We can't change their minds. This has got to stop. It's been going on. It's been going on around the country, and it has to have a much more strict police presence than it has so far. A couple of other things. One thing I was glad to see, and this thing blew me away as well. One of my least favorite people is Wayne LaPierre. Wayne LaPierre, head guy, they call him the king of the NRA, something like 30 years, crooked as a dog's hind leg, helped himself to a lot of money. I don't know why he was never prosecuted. I really do not know why he was never prosecuted. But he's in the soup now, and this is an amazing thing that the NRA said about him. Here's some of the things. He took hundreds of thousands of dollars for clothing, trips, and he laundered it through their advertising firm. So he'd use their card. Their advertising firm would then bill it without detail or without any reason for the expenditure. And he ran the NRA since 1991, 270 grand worth of clothes. And this is only fairly recently. And he runs it through this firm. More than 500 grand was billed to the NRA by the Ackerman Ad Agency and racked up 114 million in legal fees for the NRA itself. This has got to stop. So what they did was they threw him under the bus. The NRA said basically he was a skunk, crooked as a dog's hind leg, but now we got the skunk out of here. So please, New York, do not go after the NRA because the skunk is out. The skunk isn't out. They're all skunks. But it was very, very funny to see them turn like dogs on him. David Amequan, my friend. Thanks for calling, David. What's in your mind today?
Good afternoon, man. Thank you for taking my call. I agree with you wholeheartedly what you just laid out with what's going on in New York City and what's going on with the tunnels and the bridges and everything else. The only thing that I would just point out, though, is that the local DA, Alvin Bragg, has been showing his true colors for quite a while and not prosecuting almost any type of criminal within the city. And I think it's a huge concern because if you see what's happening in New York City on a daily basis, I mean, it's scary what kind of things are happening. It reminds me of the New York in the early, you know, actually the 1980s when things were really kind of crazy over there in the 1970s. And I think in order to rectify with what you're talking about, it really has to start with, you know, the mayor of New York, Mr. Adams, trying to push out, you know, Mr. Bragg out of that office because they're kind of following with what he's been pushing, which is not, you know, siding with almost the criminal rather than the victims in this case.
Yeah, that's a good insight. You know, Bragg had tried to revive himself in our esteem because he prosecuted Trump. And, you know, I was glad about the prosecution, but you're right. He's not going after these people. There were a couple of guys who beat up a Jewish guy who was walking along, had a yarmulke on, and initially they were going to give it a very, very low priority. That changed. Here's the deal. There is increasing anti-Semitism, not just in New York itself, believe it or not, but elsewhere around the country. And prosecutors and, frankly, opinion leaders in communities aren't taking it seriously enough. These people are out there, some of them, chanting for Hamas, opposed to Israel, ridiculing the torture that Hamas inflicted on Israeli women when they went over and raped them, and not only raped them, but mutilated them, their genital area. This is not anti-colonial activity. This is sadism. Hamas, Islamic Jihad, ISIS, they're all together. Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda, the Janjaweed. These are enemies of human civilization. And there are many Palestinian people who are wonderful people. And they are going to have to live in peace with Israel. But as long as Hamas is in the scene, they're not going to be able to. And that has got to change. And it's got to change by deporting and throwing felony convictions of people that try to close down New York City. I'll tell you that. Okay. We are going to have news. We are going to have weather. And then we are going to have some very, very juicy things. In particular, Trump emoluments. You think you know what emolument means? Well, you ain't heard nothing yet until you find out the kind of money that Trump has been taking from foreign governments.
Blood on the rise, follow.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Many communities have declared snow emergencies and parking bans for today's snowstorm. That's so snowplow drivers have enough room to do their jobs. In some places, vehicles could be towed at the owner's expense. The heaviest snow is falling in the southeastern two-thirds of the state. Democrats say Republicans shouldn't politicize migrant border crossings. Congressman Mark Pocan tells WISN-TV's Up Front that there have been plenty of chances in the past to solve the immigration problem.
It fixed much of the broken immigration law that right now is largely broken, and Congress has been idle on dealing with this now for a couple decades.
Some Republicans want to shut the government down this month if there's no deal. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WGBW and WISS. After the snowstorm is over, experts say you should give road crews time and room to do their work. Ready Wisconsin encourages everyone to stay safe and prepare by clearing snow from your driveways and sidewalks and checking external vents on your home. Clear them off if you have to, and if you have a fire hydrant on your property, clear the snow so there's at least 3 feet of open space around it. Appleton native Willem Dafoe has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Dafoe was born in Appleton in 1955. He mentioned Appleton in his acceptance speech and name-dropped the city's other show business megastar, Harry Houdini. Dafoe left Appleton after high school. He's acted in more than 100 movies over his career, including Spider-Man, Platoon, American Psycho, and one of this year's Oscar buzz films, Poor Things. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
A Packer player sent to the hospital. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs had to be sent to a nearby hospital after taking a hit against the Bears Sunday night that left him coughing up blood on the sidelines. Matt LaFleur with an update on Doubs, listed with a chest injury.
This morning, it seems to be he's doing better, but he'll be day-to-day, I would say.
To go to the hospital to get checked out?
Yes, he did.
Is he out now? Do you know?
Oh, yeah.
The Packers play the Cowboys Sunday in Dallas. College football. The Michigan Wolverines are national champions. They beat Washington last night 34-13. It's the first national title for Michigan since 1997 when one of their players, Charles Woodson, won the Heisman Trophy. NBA, the Bucks with another loss at home, 132-116. The Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin on how the Jazz kept finding open shots.
You know, they were just shooting behind our switches, you know, and that's something we stress, you know, being physical, pushing up, switch under. You know, we dug ourselves in a hole, but we kept fighting.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A winter storm warning is in effect now. As snow is coming down, it could mix with some rain this afternoon. Flipping back to all snow after 2 o'clock as winds start to whip up to 40 miles per hour, dumping 3 to 6 inches today and another 1 to 3 possible tonight, with visibilities greatly reduced. Right now, 33 degrees.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Matt. Welcome back. Glad to have you back. I wanted to ask you two questions about items that you had brought up in the last half hour. You were talking about Trump making the comment when he was in Iowa just in the last week or so, making this threat that if you see, quote, bags of crap coming into the voting booth, don't leave. And this kind of fake bravado, this kind of fake alpha wolf, Mr. Macho activity here. The two points. Okay, the first question I would have would be about individual voting polling places, and the second would be on the question of the House. When you were bringing up the fact that Speaker Johnson is now the leader of the House, and he led on the efforts to decertify the 2020 election, and he's now in a very powerful place in terms of controlling those chambers. So the first question I would ask is, okay, let's suppose that Trump is the nominee. Let's suppose as the nominee, he says to people, you know, in the days before the election, I want you to occupy every single voting booth in the city of Milwaukee. You go in there with guns and you don't leave. Basically threatening to knock it down. In that circumstances, I understand it. You can't go into a Wisconsin voting polling place unless you're either a registered voter or an election observer. And my understanding from the time that I used to do it was that you go in as an election observer, you have to sign in with the chief inspector who's overseeing the whole polling place. They tell you where to sit. They tell you, keep your mouth shut. You can't be electioneering. You can't be saying anything to voters. You cannot disrupt that process. You can't take pictures of them. You can't videotape them. But let's say that Trump went ahead and told his people, go ahead and do it, you know, basically occupy this and bring your guns, because certain areas or certain polling places, they do allow guns if you're not brandishing them at people or threatening voters. But let's say he encourages people to do that. Number one, the first question would be, would voters then have, your right to vote is sacrosanct. Would they, on those words that Trump had said, if he said words such as that, would they be able to, is that actionable for individual voters in such a situation to say something against or to go after Trump for criminal charges? And the second thing I would ask you is, okay, Speaker Johnson he controls the chambers. If he were, as you were saying, suggesting as a possibility, I'm not going to allow the vote count, the electoral vote count, to happen in the chambers. You can't have it here. Thus, I'm going to throw this whole thing to to the state legislatures, and that's the way the vote is going to happen. Again, is this actionable? I would imagine that Speaker Johnson is in a circumstance where there's an incredible latitude in terms of what he can do. Whereas in the Wisconsin polling place, it's a lot more circumscribed by laws in the state of Wisconsin, overseen by our attorney general, our laws. So I'd love your reactions to those two thoughts, and I really appreciate you bringing them up, Matt, because we never thought that people would be invading the Capitol. We never thought there'd be this nefarious Green Bay sweep, and I think as we looked ahead to this election, if Trump is the nominee, he's a cornered rat at this point, and God knows what's going to happen. So thanks a lot. I'd love your thoughts on those two points. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Joe. You really peeled the skin back and shown the core issues. So let me address both of them. First of all, with what he said in Iowa, and essentially he was saying occupy the voting booth, and he's saying that likely he's talking about swing states, about seven of them, including New Mexico. Now, and then in those swing states, there are only a couple of areas that the Republicans don't like. For instance, in Michigan, it's Detroit. In Pennsylvania, it's Philadelphia. In Wisconsin, it's Milwaukee and Madison. So if they do that and use the term actionable, which is a meritorious word and people talk about it, but actionable implies litigation. Civil litigation can take a year or longer with appeals. Criminal litigation cannot be instituted by a citizen. Only a prosecutor can do that, or a judge. And so you could bring a complaint to a prosecutor and urge them to file a criminal action, but they have complete immunity on that, and they may or may not file it. And if they do, that takes time. So What I want to address right now, and then I'll talk about Johnson, but is this. Criminal or civil litigation take time, and we don't have time. In other words, if you have thugs occupying the voting booths and disrupt the election, I know of no case where afterwards a judge said, yeah, you're right, so I'm going to have the other guy win. That doesn't happen. What has to absolutely happen is a police presence and immediate response. Now, I think the Democratic Party, and I assume they do, Ben Wickler is doing a good job as state chairman, and I know personally that during Election Day, even in less violent times, we had reams of volunteer lawyers who stood on call, and they would get, with some frequency, you know, I'm at this polling place, somebody came in, he's objecting to this, objecting to that, causing a disturbance, the lawyers go out. If you have to, you can bring an injunction that day, they have the forms all set, and get a judge to, for instance, keep the polling place open a little longer because the lines were too long or some machines didn't work, that kind of thing. But when it comes to violence, other than the Civil War, the only time that I can think of was back in 2000 in the Gore Bush thing in Florida. And they had young men, you know, in their 20s, come from around the country and intimidate elderly poll workers. Because remember something, our tradition has been such scrupulously clean elections that frequently you have senior citizens will sit there staffing it and looking at it, and they don't have police protection, and they don't. And if you have a bunch of thugs in their 20s coming from around the country, that did happen in Florida. It scares them. And the thugs will raise their voice, deep voices. Okay, now it's time to do this. And it scares them, it scares elderly women. And if they try that now, I think that we're unnoticed how they acted. And they got George Bush in, who was a disaster. He led to two recessions and wars that we didn't need to get into, and ignored the danger signals, the chatter leading up to 9/11. He was an absolute hack and incompetent. Now looks a little better because Trump is a criminal, but the bar is low. But I think what it's going to take, Joe, on that one is actionable. It's sort of like close only counts in hand grenades and horseshoes. So actionable only counts when you have the luxury of litigation time. This requires a police intervention right away, conceivably the National Guard. The problem is we have a Democratic governor, that's great, but there's states with Republican governors who won't call in the Guard. But if we have chatter leading up to the election, and it looks like there are people who are going to heed Trump's call to, quote, occupy the voting booth, to, quote, not let suspicious materials in or take them, confiscate them. That's going to require a very strong statement from the governor, the attorney general, and the police chiefs that it won't be tolerated. And if there is an occupation of a voting booth, those people will be dragged out and arrested. Now, I don't think that police in Texas and Alabama would do that, but I think in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, I do not know about Georgia, but presumably Atlanta, hopefully Phoenix, hopefully Las Vegas, that there would be that kind of, but it pains me to say that I have to even have this conversation in the United States, but we really do. Litigation and actionable issues take too much time. We need a police presence. When it comes to Mike Johnson, what I'm deeply afraid of is he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, he'll smile and he'll keep the government open because he knows it would hurt them. But when push comes to shove, he voted against certification of Joe Biden last time. But more importantly, much more importantly, he was the coordinator of the opposition. And he's much slipperier and smoother. And would he have the guts to deny access to the vice president, to the chamber? I do not think the six tarantulas would overrule him on that one. then I think what has to happen is, I think that Biden, Merrick Garland, and then whatever prominent Republicans will sign on will say, we're going to have it elsewhere. We'll have it in the Senate chambers, and we'll bring in chairs, and the vice president will be there. And then it's up to the tarantulas. If the tarantulas said, no, what he did is, I would arrest the tarantulas, quite frankly, for treason. But I hesitate to have this conversation in America now, but I truly think the tarantulas would not have the guts to do it. But at some point, somebody has got to step up and say, we can't have this very shoddy, trivial, pretextual, rules-oriented approach to, well, technically we're going to do this and technically we're going to do that, so therefore Trump's president. We can't have that. People will not put up with that. So the answer to you on Mike Johnson is, sure, it's actionable. That takes a year. It has to be actionable that day. And if he did something like that, I think Biden would have to, and I don't want to say this because Trump would send in the army if he had it the other way, but something's got to be done. And maybe if they won't do it in the chambers, do it in the Senate, because Schumer is the majority leader, and bring in the chairs and have them have it there, something of that nature, or have it in some rotunda in Washington. And the real message to this conversation, to everybody listening out there, Republican, independent, Democrat, whatever you are, the fact that we have to have this conversation in the United States now shows the danger of what Trump is doing and what the people in the Republican Party are doing who side with him. We should not have to worry about talking about violence, about not being able to go into the chamber of our own House of Representatives as the Constitution demands, about not having certifications when 50 governors and 50 secretaries of state, majority of whom were Republicans, certified Joe Biden. And this time they're not going to use an army of clowns to go up there and try to beat up cops. What they're going to try to do it is at the polling place and with sneaky pretextual applications of rules. I do not put it past Mike Johnson to do that. But the only thing that's going to deter him, quite frankly, is going to be there's enough of a hue and cry, enough of an uproar from people, including a lot of Republicans. And at long last, some Republicans are going to have to say, we're not putting up with this anymore. We talked about emoluments, and most people don't know what it means. Well, they just released a 156-page report, the Democrats did. They had 4 months to do this before the Republicans took over and McCarthy shut it down. But in the 4 months, they looked at 4 out of 500 accounts that could funnel money to Trump. And they found $7.8 million that he got from foreign governments. China, $5.5 million. Saudi Arabia, $615,000. Qatar, $466,000. Kuwait, $300,000. India, $282,000. Malaysia, $248,000. Afghanistan, $154,000. Then the Philippines and the United Arab Emirates less. That's four accounts out of 500. And what happens is these people, the Chinese rented some floors of Trump Tower. And what he immediately did, and they rented them for 2 months, what he immediately did is he would not sanction China for helping North Korea. Clear quid pro quo. That's what an emolument is. And the Constitution says that the president, no person holding any office of trust in the U.S., not just the president, can accept any emolument, which is a profit from any foreign state. Trump did that. All right, coming up, this fellow Comey has shot his mouth off about Biden, Hunter Biden. Wait till you hear what he did.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10, on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM, WGBW.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Don't let me down. Don't let me down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Want to follow up briefly on the last subject that we were talking about, the emoluments. You must understand that Trump has been on the take for a long time. Constitution says that he cannot profit, accept any money from any foreign state. That's in the Constitution. But through his businesses, in the 4 months that the Democrats had to do this investigation, and this 156-page report just came out, they found $5.5 million from China, and then $615,000 from Saudi Arabia and other countries, Qatar, Kuwait, India, Malaysia, Afghanistan, the Philippines, and the United Arab Emirates. That's only four of the 500 places that he could have gotten money. And there was immediate reaction on his part as consideration for this money. He was urged by the State Department to sanction China for helping North Korea in violation of our embargo on them, and he refused to do it because they had just paid $2 million in rent for office space in Trump Tower. $2 million. What about the other 496 entities out of the 500? We won't know until the Democrats get back in the House because they were shut down by Kevin McCarthy. Any country, and it typically with the countries like China, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, India, Malaysia, Afghanistan, the United Arab Emirates, any company knew they could get to Trump. Saudi Arabia used to routinely rent whole floors of his most expensive hotels at full rates and then not even show up to get a key. Didn't use them. This is all bribery. Emolument is too fancy a word. That's an 18th century word. It's bribery. He was bribed by China. He was bribed by Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, India, Malaysia, Afghanistan, United Arab Emirates. He is on the take. Now, let's talk about another corrupt individual, this guy James Comer. Comer is the head of the Oversight Committee. He's from Kentucky, and he has a mouth on him. Runs his mouth, always attacking Hunter Biden, attacking Joe Biden. And, you know, Hunter Biden, fair game. Prosecutors can look at him all they want. Two things are going after him. One is, in this country, you're supposed to, if you're a drug addict, not buy a gun federally. So he bought a gun and didn't disclose he was a drug addict. The NRA and the Republican Party opposes that law. In fact, there was a case that came down where a court of appeals said it's unconstitutional. But Hunter Biden's being prosecuted under it. He can say it's unconstitutional, and the NRA and the Republicans say right on. The other one is taxes. He underpaid taxes, and then he paid them about $1.5 million. Roger Stone underpaid taxes, and then he paid them about $4 million. Stone wasn't prosecuted. Most people, if they repay the money with interest and penalties, aren't prosecuted. Hunter Biden is. I don't want to get into that. It's up to the prosecutor. Okay, that's fine. But there is no evidence, nor is it true, that Joe Biden got any of this money, that had anything to do with it. So here's what James Comer did. Shut his mouth up. Has a mouth on him. James Comer goes, well, Biden loaned his brother $200,000 and then was repaid. So we should impeach him. Well, this is unbelievable. It turns out that James Comer got $200,000. I'm not kidding. The same amount from his brother, claimed it was a loan. Oh yeah, I forgot about that one. But the other one that really, really frosted me is James Comer goes, well, you have to be very, very transparent about your books and records, your personal books and records. As it turns out, Joe Biden is. No one has ever said he wasn't. But what just came to light in the Daily Beast right now, is that James Comer has an LLC called Farm Team Properties LLC that deals in real estate with one of his donors and wasn't disclosed, and he didn't disclose it. And it turns out it was dissolved twice for failing to file annual reports in 2020 and 2022. The law in Kentucky on LLCs like that is this, quote, a dissolved business shall not carry out any business except that necessary to wind up and liquidate its affairs. Nevertheless, Farm Team Properties LLC continued to hold and lease properties. They just were dissolved on two occasions and Comer didn't bother to disclose any of this stuff. He even denied owning an LLC until they caught him on it. His books and records, to say they're opaque, would be an understatement. This guy is running a real estate operation using an LLC as the form, the shell, in Kentucky with one of his donors. I haven't the faintest idea how much money he's gotten, where it's coming from. Now, it's one thing to set up a fraudulent impeachment of Joe Biden. Okay, you can expect something like that from people in the Freedom Caucus right who are afraid of Donald Trump and all that. I get it. It's quite another thing to do it when you're as crooked as a dog's hind leg yourself. When you have an LLC that you denied owning initially called Farm Team Properties, that's been dissolved twice in 2020, and then someone found out, and so they refiled, and then it gets dissolved again in 2022. They don't like a lot of investigation of their stuff. And Kentucky law says that they can't do any business while they're dissolved, and they went ahead and did it. And this is James Comer. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Stand by for another great show, which is Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
less calories and fat, and oh so delicious. It's what every light bread wants to be. Leave it to the bakers of Village Hearth to have the perfect recipes that pack goodness and flavor into every package while still keeping it trim. With Village Hearth light bread and buns, you can lighten up on the calories and fat without losing out on the great taste. There's simply more to savor and nothing to sacrifice. With our light wheat, light 12 grain, and light Italian bread and buns, there's a light, tasty favorite for everyone in the family. Village Hearth, baking our best for you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle.